As Aaron said, we do have a special guest for you this morning. Some of you know Jim Bartholomew because he is pastored here in Brevard County for about 30 years, just not the last 11 years. The last 11 years, he was working his business, probably making more money. You know how that goes. Now he's toying with retirement, which you need to understand if you're thinking about retirement. When God hears retirement, he thinks extreme availability. So he's toying with being extremely available to God. And with that in mind, we invited him to bring the word this morning. He's an old hand at it. He just hadn't done it in a few years. So Jim's going to come up and share the word. We're excited to hear him. So buckle up. Amen.
Hope I live up to the billing. So there's 100 thoughts streaming around inside my head. My wife made me promise I wouldn't try to put 11 years of thoughts into my one chance to preach this morning. So I'm going to do my best at that. I felt strongly that I should start by going, look, we're getting started right now. Is there any questions? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Seriously, I really felt like the Lord impressed upon me. I should ask, are there any questions? How about a prophecy? Is there a prophecy out there that you feel just has to be done at this moment? All right, then off we go. We were away on a sabbatical for quite a while, just exhausted. About 18 months ago, we started church hunting. My wife was like, I want to visit a lot of churches, and I was like, I'm not so sure I want to do that. But it turned out to be a super good thing because we looked around and met some old friends, and it was fun. But it didn't take long for me to feel like this was our home. This is where we belonged. The reality of that has turned out to be very true. We're grateful for this home. Haven't been there nearly as long as Robert has, but we've got to experience the love and the support and the fellowship that is provided here, and we're super grateful for it. I guess it was about a year ago, we were here, and we were starting to settle in and become part of the group, and I'm in the back, and I feel like the Lord speaks to my heart and says, if you ever get a chance to speak here, I want you to speak on being able to find the best version of yourself in Jesus. Amen. There's this ESPN guy named Dan Orlovsky. Played for the Lions and kind of tall, kind of goofy guy a little bit. And last year when he's doing the stuff during training camp and all that, he would say, well, if this person shows up being the best version of themselves, that they'll be able to succeed in the team. And he might have said it about 4 times. And it just started to ring inside me that we're never going to be able to find the best version of ourselves outside of Jesus. And I'm going to use Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 21 eventually. You don't have to go there yet. To talk about, I believe, the way God's wanting to work inside of us. A couple things going on. I am not talking about you trying harder. You need to hear that as a disclaimer. I am not talking about you trying to try harder. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to read the word more. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. This is not what this is about. That thing that Rachel talked about at first was we come in sanctification because of what the Lord does in salvation because of what the Lord does in our hearts. We continue in sanctification by what the Lord does in our hearts. I believe it is very much a spiritual thing. I have these 2 pictures. Don't show them now. But one's like a little waterfall, and that's us trying to imitate what God's doing. And then there's like the Niagara Falls. And when he's doing something, it's really happening. Amen. All right. And so just to give you a little bit of an idea, would everybody agree? You don't have to agree, but there's like 8 million people on the planet, 8 billion people on the planet, right? All right. That's I remember it wasn't that long ago. It was only 6 billion. So there's 8 billion people on the planet. If they're up for 16 hours a day and they sin once an hour, that's 128 billion sins that the earth produces a day. That's a lot of sin. And so as the Bible talks about in the end, that the earth groans. That's part of the reason why it's groaning. But on the other side of that, and the more important point here is, the blood of Jesus was shed nearly 2,000 years ago and is still efficient and effective to be able to cleanse all those sins every day of the year that it's generated. And I think we need to learn how big God really is. He's that big, 128 billion sins a day. And that's been going on for nearly 2,000 years. If you do the math, I think the 0 day from B.C. to A.D. is like it's actually 4 B.C. was the start of it. Jesus will have been crucified for 2,000 years in like 2029. And every day, the sin of the world has been multiplying and going and going and going. And his blood is efficient to cleanse all of that sin every day. Every day. And he's the one that's inside you trying to work out your salvation in fear and in trembling. And I think what's happened, you know, 30 years ago, Tony and I and Jim was here and a whole bunch of other guys, some of them are now since passed away. There was a renewal that went on. It was a laughing thing, and a bunch of people got saved and healed, and a lot of other heart stuff happened as well. I think God's wanting to do that again. With all my heart, I don't know. I don't want it to be what it was like necessarily. I'm not that guy that goes, well, we got to do the same thing we did 30 years ago. Not that guy. But I do believe the Lord wants to move again. The earth is in a really hard place right now. I think we are in the midst of a birth pang. You know how it said there would be birth pangs till the end of the age? Wildfires in Texas, mudslides in California. We just got over the COVID corona thing. Earthquake in New York a couple days ago, 4.2. And wars, rumors of wars. What is it? Russia and there's another country I've lost my... Ukraine, yeah, right? And on it goes. And I think the Lord is wanting to raise up an army for this time. And so the part that I have for today is about how can we prepare for that army? How can we prepare to be that army? How can we respond to the Spirit of the Lord and the things that he's wanting to do? So I guess we can start with now Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 21. I want to read it to you in full, and then we're going to break it down. I did a little bit of research. I was at lunch with a friend the other day, and I'm like going, I had all my books out, all my giant books, and I'm looking through them and having trouble reading the letters because my eyes aren't nearly as good as they used to be. And he started laughing at me. He goes, well, the 26-year-olds that are coming out of the seminary now, they do it all on their phone. I'm like going, dude, I got books everywhere. I was just trying. So this is a study I did, and I'll try to give it to you and hope that it'll be interesting, but I want it definitely to be informative and empowering. Ephesians 3, 16 to 21, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the first part. We're going to leave 20 and 21 later. And so, as I was studying for this time, I don't believe that the human language has enough to be able to describe who God is and what he wants to do. As you look at these passages, it's like the language is straining to contain all that God wants to do inside of you. It literally is strange. Like there's not enough language in the language to be able to communicate what God is trying to communicate to us by the Spirit, for our spirits, for our inner man. That there's so much there. And we've got to learn. I believe that the Lord is trying to teach us that he is so much bigger than what we experience sometimes on a daily basis or how we see. Like our faith is in a massive God. He's massive. Like, even if you just consider the earth and how big it is, it's like tiny little pin drop compared to what he's doing. Like, we are a galaxy within a solar system within a galaxy that's within galaxies, and there's like lots and lots and lots of them. The vastness, the broadness of who he is and what he wants to do inside of us, he wants us to learn. He wants us to capture, because that's the God that's there. And the days are getting harder. I don't know if we'll see the end of the age or not, but it certainly looks more likely than it did before. There's more sin than there's ever been before, more delusion and disappointment and sadness and hopelessness. And God wants us to be containers of hope. That when we're reached for, we're able to pour out. Okay, so that God would grant you. This is what he wants to do for you. And this is how he wants to do it. According to the riches of his glory. Like, what is that called? So the writer probably would know a lot better than I would. When there's like the sentence is too long. What's that? Yeah, it's like this. Like, Paul has so many things that the Holy Spirit is saying in him that he's trying to write. That he's like, phrase, comma, phrase, comma, phrase, comma, phrase, comma, phrase, comma. Because it just doesn't fit in a normal sentence. And he wants you to see that. He wants us to see that. He wants us to grow in that, where the concepts become real, where we're, I believe he wants to expand our spirits. He wants to strengthen us in the inner man. And this is how he does it. He wants to grant to you according to the riches of his glory. According is from a Greek word, kata. Got to find it. And it denotes intensity, in harmony. The standard of giving with God in your inner man is the riches of his glory. Do you get it? Now, I was a remodeling carpenter, contractor guy. And so if you want me to rebuild your bathroom for you, we can do it according to some B-grade seconds that you bought at some cheap tile store, a Home Depot or wherever. Or we can get the Carrara marble from the Carrara mines in Italy. Like the statue of David was carved out of that white Carrara marble. And we can get those perfect. So how do you want your bathroom to be remodeled? Do you want to be it remodeled according to the B seconds from Home Depot? Or do you want it to be remodeled according to the marble that was mined out of Italy? And that's kind of the thing we're seeing here. It's like he wants you to know where the according is coming from. It's according to his riches and glory. And we sang about the holiness of God today, but we often sing about the glory of God. Well, it's the riches of his glory. That's how he wants to work this work inside of you. So I can't, I won't, it's too hard, there's so many problems, I'm being persecuted, there's tribulation. He's got so much more. Amen. We are going to go through tough times. Through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want it to be all good. I like it when it's good. I want it to be good all the time, but it's not. But we still can make it. And not only can we make it, I believe we're meant to flourish. So according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. And so that word might, let me find it, is the Greek word dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. So the power in which he wants to work into your heart is like dynamite. We're not talking about the little sizzle firecracker. Poop, poop, poop. He's got an explosion for you. An explosion for you to change your life and heart. And it wants to be changed first and foremost on the inside. The best version of you will always be found in Christ. When we try to fix our own problems ourselves, we end up with unforeseen consequences. I've been hurt by someone, my dad, my mom, a relative, or whatever. And our human tendency is to close in on ourselves and to not allow anyone in. But God's answer is, I'm knocking, I want to come back in. And I can make you different. He can heal anything. Anything. And I know what hurt is. I've been through plenty of it. I'm not this guy that's always had all the privilege and been able to do and have whatever I want. I've gone through enough tough times. And he wants to show you that he can take you through.
Amen, amen.
All right? According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with dunamis power, with might, through his spirit in the inner man. And I believe we are at a time generationally where we have to be a people that's being strengthened in our inner man. The best version of you will be found in Jesus as he strengthens you by his spirit with his might in the inner man so that we are able to sustain and go on. What would it take? 3 days in a trucking strike and we'd all be hungry. That's not that hard to figure out. And he wants us to be people that persevere, that endure, that last to the end. If there really is another revival coming on, you're the workers. Pastors can do some of it, but they can't do all of it. They're not supposed to do all of it. Can you lead somebody to the Lord? We ought to be people that are equipped. By the way, Jeremiah, I wanted to say to you, I got saved by the four spiritual laws. I don't know if you remember during your message. I don't even know if the four spiritual laws, first time I ever heard the gospel, I got saved by them. So anyway, I got saved by Jesus, obviously, but all right. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded. This is one of the spots where I think the language is not enough to contain. What's the difference between rooted and grounded? As I search the definitions and means, let's lie not. And I think what it means for me is that when we're rooted, God wants us to be deep. And when we're grounded, God wants us to be stable. So he's looking for each and every one of us that we would know the love of God in such a way that it would be deep and that it would be stable. I believe the only way you're going to get through this world as we're going on moving forward is that you're a loved son. You're a loved daughter. One of my friends, I have a kind of twisted sense of humor, and most of the people that call me friends do too. So one of my friends brought me a T-shirt that said, "Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." And I believe that that's the attitude that each and every one of us should have. Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. He wants us rooted and grounded in his love for us. The thing that enables us to continue to go on from here to here to here to here to the next thing is like, have you had failure before? I've had lots of failure. Recently and a long time ago and every time in between. Have you had disappointment? Robert talked about relational difficulty that ends in divorce and the death that causes. And then there's a whole bunch of other relational difficulties that happen that cause death inside of us as well, right? He wants you to be able to make it through each and every one of those. And I know that sometimes in the moment, we're not able to move forward. But ultimately, because I know that I'm a loved son, frankly, I can stand up here today. Because it's kind of hard, you know. It's like, I wonder how I'm going to do. I wonder what's going to happen. I believe God wants to move. Let's see what goes. I don't know. You know, if I don't do well, Tony said I should come up here, so it's his fault, you know. yeah. But the point is, it's like, I'm able to go forward because I'm a loved son. You're able to go forward because you're a loved son. You're a loved daughter. And so every difficulty, every trial, every tribulation that you go through, first of all, is meant to form you and to shape you, to refine you and to strengthen you so that you can do all that he calls you to do. But the ability to walk through that is, I'm loved. Wasn't so loved by my mom and dad. Wasn't so loved by my brothers and my sister all the time. But I am loved always by my Father. And because I know I'm loved by my Father, I can go on. And so each time it's like there's a rejection or there's a disappointment or there's a relational hurt. It's like in those moments, don't you want to quit? I want to quit. It's like, wow, so my big root problem sin from my early life was rejection. And the spirit of rejection has plagued me off and on for a long time. And so the only way I can get through it is you can reject me, but I'm loved. Now, I don't want to be stupid. The things that I do wrong, I want to be corrected on. I want to be disciplined. I want to be encouraged. I want to be put on the straight and narrow. But there's all kinds of rejection that comes from stuff that happens, just people. And it's worse now than it was before. So each time I have to make a decision about whether or not I'm going to submit to that spirit again. And one of the things I battle with is he strengthened me some in this in the inner man. I'm a loved son. And because I'm a loved son, I can do whatever I have to do. You know, it's like, what's the next call? Where are we going? And I believe that God wants to use this church. And a bunch of other churches around the county and around the state and around the country and around the world. But I have responsibility a little bit, like a really little bit, here. And I want to say to you, I believe he wants us to be prepared. And part of that preparation is being strengthened in the inner man. And that strengthening comes from knowing that we are rooted, deep, grounded, stable in his love. All right. That we may be able to comprehend. It's a Greek word, is katalambano, to take eagerly, to seize, to come together, to catch, to grasp by understanding, to possess, to embrace, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. That's one extra dimension. Do you realize that? Like, things are wide, they're deep, they're tall, or they're length and they're deep and they're wide. But that's three. God lives in a fourth dimension. I believe his love is meant to be that fourth dimension. Who was it? Golly, I heard this gal preach this probably 45 years ago. Do you remember, I think her name was Evie Ostrander. Anybody remember that name? She talked about the fourth dimension of love, and I never lost it, and it never shook for me, because this is another place where I think God is trying to reveal to us that literally our language is not enough to contain who he is. Like, he's more than even the three dimensions of our life. He's a fourth dimension that's altogether different than what we are, but he's inside you witnessing every moment of every day that you are loved in Christ. Every moment of every day you are loved in Christ. And the way you will only ever be the best person you are called to be in him is to know that you're loved. Because we're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So wait a second. This is a thing that's so broad, so big, that it passes knowledge. And yet he says he wants us to know it. And he wants us to get into his dimension. He wants us to know in the spirit, this is who I can be. This is how I'm supposed to walk. This is what I'm supposed to do. I would say in most cases, human beings set the bar a lot lower than God does for them in a general case. I think there's so much more that each and every one of us can be. And that happens when we are rooted and grounded and know the love of God. Love of Christ, in this case, is what it says, which passes knowledge. All right, and so here's the next one, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Anybody working through that today? I'm serious. That's what he wants us to be. He wants you filled, and then he doesn't want you filled with the best stuff you got. Like, some days I'm pretty full of myself. Yeah, baby, I'm doing good right now. But I'm never filled with the fullness of God like that. And he's trying to make me aware that when I fill you, I want to fill you with the fullness of me, not with the fullness of you. So that's like the standard, according to the riches of his glory. He wants you to know, like, the dimension, the power, the measurement of what he wants to do inside. And it's so much bigger than so often what we see and what we do. All right, where are we at? And I guess the other important thing here, our word for love is pretty narrow. The way I love pizza and the way I love my wife are the same word. The way I love my brothers, the way I love professional football. Like, that's all that we use, that word love is all the same word. The Greeks, I don't know if it's four. I know there's at least three words that they use for Greek love. Eros is the physical love. Phileo is the brotherly love. And then agape is the God love. And what he wants you to know is not, brotherly love is good. I had a wedding here yesterday. Man, I think it was super cool. You guys are a lot of fun to be with. I had a great time. And God bless Hawken and Annika, right? Yeah, there you go. And so we saw some brotherly love, some sisterly love, and it was good. It tasted good. It fed my soul, and I'm grateful for it. But there's a God love that is, like, so much beyond that, and that's the one he wants to get us into and get us to know and get us to understand. He wants us to be filled with the fullness of him, knowing that the agape love of God is the love that resides inside of us, that when we love, it's not a half-hearted measure. It's the love of God, not just the love of me or the love of my humanness. All right. Okay, so 20 and 21 of Ephesians 3. Yeah, we're doing pretty good. All right. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and forever. Amen. So there's like three different levels of this thing that's going on. He wants to do above all you can ask or think. That's what he wants to do. Above, I have an incredible imagination. I really do. I can think of a lot of good things. But he starts at saying, just above what you ask or think. And I've asked for a lot. Lord, can we? What are we going to do here? I want to, could you, would we? I want to if we can. So my ask and think is pretty high. But he doesn't say, I'm going to do according to what you ask or think. He's not limiting, how's that? Is that right? Limiting you to that. He goes, it's exceedingly above all that you can ask or think. And exceedingly is this the first one I did? Yeah. Webster's is great in extent, quality, or degree, or devotion. He wants to do exceptionally above all that you can ask or think. Extremely, or for the common man, very much. Right? So he wants to do exceedingly above all that you can ask or think. But the language, the human language is so limited that's not enough. He doesn't only want to do above what you ask or think. He doesn't only want to do exceedingly above what you ask or think. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. And I think a lot, we don't see the Lord that big. But he wants to. He wants to reveal himself to you as the God who is exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That's the quality that he wants to do inside of us, as he's expressing the love of God. All right, so how does it work out practically? I think it's always important, like, well, I'm going to read more. Now I'm going to start here first. A month or so ago, Tony did this thing on the parable of the sower. I would say most of us in this room were not the soil by the side of the road. You know, the birds aren't getting all of our seeds anymore. And I would also say for the people in this room, mostly all, maybe I don't know for sure, I'm getting to know all of you, but I don't know all of you yet, that we're also not the ground that's rocky, where we're thin-soiled, that we've gone through some persecution and we've done some things, and the sprouts are going to last longer than the heat of the day. I think for the most part, we're also not people that are choked by the weeds and the thorns and the thistles. Some maybe sometimes. It's America, so there's lots of ways to get distracted. But I would say for the most part, we're not that. But I think I'm probably 30-fold soil. I think I'm in the good soil category. But I would say I'm in 30-fold soil. I don't know where you are. But if God would permit, I want to be 60-fold soil.
That's right.
And if God would permit, I want to be 100-fold soil. I believe those are the things, not as a striving or something we try to do or work harder towards, but I believe God wants us to yield to the vine dresser and allow us to become 100-fold soil. You know, and that is like, that's where we want to end up at the end of this. I don't want to be choked. I don't want to be stolen from. I don't want to wither when the first heat comes. I don't want to be distracted by things. But I also, if I'm only 30-fold soil, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. And it's like, let's get 30-fold then. Here we go. We're going to do it for the rest of our lives as long as we can. But what my hope is and what my heart is like, Lord, if it's possible, I want to be 100-fold soil. I want to be soil that accomplishes all that you want. So at the end of my life, the end of your life, we can look back and go, no regrets. Did all that I was supposed to do. I am looking forward to hearing at the end of this, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. And that's what he wants for every one of us all the time. He's only looking for your good. And if he's honing or sharpening or rough edge, dude, man, we got to work on that a little bit. It's for your good. It's so that you prosper. It's so that you finish all that he's called you to finish. He knows that that's going to be a stumbling block later on down the road, and he doesn't want you to stumble. So at this point, maybe now, maybe later, maybe soon, going to work that edge off. Oh, did I tell you? it's like sometimes iron sharpens iron. Like there's this guy, this gal, it's in your life. They're going, wow, really hard to get along with this one right now. But it feels like the Lord's got you connected. And so you're going, all right, Lord, I submit. I want to be hundredfold soil. I don't want to trip sometime later. I don't want to fall when it becomes important, when we're under pressure, so that we can accomplish all that he's called us to accomplish, all right? So we pray, we worship, we read the word, we fast, we sacrifice, we obey, we serve, allowing the Father to strengthen us in the inner man. It is the disciplines that are part of this. I have a friend. He used to get really sad, like if they didn't do their devotions that day. Didn't read my Bible, I'm not feeling so good about me. That's not the attitude that he's looking for in us. He wants us to open up our hearts to him and allow him in whatever that activity he has us doing. You're evangelizing today. You're serving that sweet lady, Lori. Oh, my goodness, I love that gal. She prophesied me back into action. I'm really happy about her. She goes, I can't be here today. I got to be back in the nursery. That's part of the deal. God blesses in the nursery just as much as he does out here. We've got to be aware of that. Like, there are days when it's like, it's not fun to serve, but you know you're called to serve, and so you serve. And you and in that process of serving, even though maybe you physically don't want to, your flesh doesn't want to, or, man, there's good stuff happening in the sanctuary, and I just don't want to miss that right now. But if you're being obedient to God, those are the things that hone on the inside, where it's not all about me and how good I feel about what's going on and how well fed I feel. Feeding can come a lot of different ways. And we have to be people that are going, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be a part? And I believe we're supposed to be part of revival. And in that means we're constantly going to have struggle finding where are we going to fit all the people. There's going to be needs left and right everywhere. Man, when that thing started at the tabernacle, they had, 500 people out watching a sheet outside because they couldn't fit any more people indoors. Been to Brownsville, been to Lakeland when Rodney Howard Brown was there. Do you guys remember a guy, Todd Bentley? Like there was a situation where God's doing these. I went to Lakeland, sat in a tent. It was pretty cool stuff. But after a while, like something happened, you know, and like the glory or the pressure or whatever gets to you, and then suddenly you're doing stupid stuff again. Well, that preparation so that you're not doing stupid stuff when you're there starts now. Starts last year, for some of you, 10 years ago or more, where you're allowing the Lord to strengthen your inner man. So that when the struggles of life come, temptation is temptation. You know, Tony talked about the passing pleasures of temptation. You know why temptation is temptation? It's super fun for a little while. Super fun. And it's almost always super fun offered to you in the dark. Nobody's around. I might be able to get away with this one. Can't tell you how many times those sort of thoughts have happened to me. I'm going, wow, I could. Kind of want to even. But you're going to pay. The wages of sin are death. They're always death. So sin can be pleasurable for a moment, but it's always passing. And it always ends in death. All right. So then these are just a couple complimentary thoughts to finish up here. John 8:32. So in one of the versions of my Bible, it used to read, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Can't even remember who the guy is now. But I think it was out of David Wilkerson book. And he talked about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a creative power in the Word of God that will make you free. The Lord wants you to be engaged in that word of truth so that you're free. And you're completely free. He wants to make you free. He wants to creatively release you from the things that have bound you and hold you back because my mom and dad divorced when I was 5. I was hurt by this person or that thing happened to me. They mocked me because I wasn't smart in high school. Or whatever the deal is, we all have had somebody somewhere along the way going, you're not enough. And God's saying to you that you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's not like a little change for a while. I'm doing my calisthenics and I'm on my keto diet and I lost a little weight and as long as I stay at it, everything's going to be all right. It's a little, the literal transformative power of God to make you free. And then he says just a little later in John, and if the Son shall set you free, if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. You do not have to stay bound. You do not have to stay in the sin that has captured you at this moment. You don't have to stay with the limitations that are on you for this or that or whatever. He wants to make you free, and if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So I would encourage you, 1 Samuel 1 through 14 maybe is the discussion about Samuel and then Saul, the first king of Israel. And not long after that, David comes into the picture. It's like by 1 Samuel 18, and these aren't exact, so don't quote me. You start to see what God's wanting to do through the young man. And for most of you, you guys over there and other places, he was like 15. And that's pretty incredible. It's like, I'm going to save Israel today. No big deal. Yeah, I killed the lion when the lion came and tried to kill the sheep when no one was looking. I killed the bear when the bear tried to kill the sheep. No one was looking. I also was singing songs to the Lord. Oh, man. Amen. Lovely, lovely, lovely stuff. Yeah. Going to write some psalms. Going to be in the Bible for all eternity. Talk about legacy, dude. That's legacy. Oh, and beyond all that, Jesus comes from his family line. Not a bad week. Right? I'm telling you, he wants us to have hope. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to have joy in a God who has every plan of succeeding during this time. And he wants his people to succeed with him. I'm not trying to play pump up, we all can do better stuff. If God doesn't do it inside you, it's not getting done. But this is David and his approach to his problems. And I don't know. Let's do a quick math lesson here. Let's see. Steps about a foot tall. I'm a little bit above 6 foot tall. So we get that to 8 foot. 2 foot's about like that. So literally, you standing down there, the giant he's looking at, it's about up here. 9 feet. Yeah, I'd heard 10 feet. But so we can even lower it a foot. Is that any better? But I'm serious. It's like the deal. I get it. We can talk about that stuff, and I appreciate that. Thank you. But he was a giant. And if you look at a bunch of really good lessons in there. When he left his sheep with a sheep keeper. When he left his stuff with a stuff keeper. And then he got to the battle lines. He's going, hey, what's going on? Who? Giant defying the armies of Israel. Not good. Nobody wants to fight him. I'll fight him. And so we're not fighting humans anymore. We're not fighting real giants. But you get around spiritual stuff and they're real giants. Some of the things that have been in my life are like, wow, that's massive and it's super hard to get over. But he wants us to have an attitude inside of us. And this was David's attitude. So I'm going to read it to you. I'll do the best I can. You can put up if you want to. Okay, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver your head into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the bird of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And I believe the Lord wants us to know today that there's a God in the church. He is real and he is alive and he's tired of being defiled. Amen. Anyway. All right. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's and he will give you into our hands. So it was. So then that's what's happening. That's the little dialogue we're having as we're doing the war. And then this is the way it happens. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and he ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. 9 foot tall, 10 foot tall. He's running towards you. What are we doing? Mommy, time to go. I mean, that's a tough gig, isn't it? It's real. That these are real things. This isn't the make-pretend story to get us feeling happy about ourselves. This is how he wants us to live. There are real giants in the land. They don't look like the Philistine anymore, but they are real. And they're as strong as they ever been, and in some ways stronger. And he wants us to have a warrior spirit again that says, you will not defile the God of the church. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. Then the Philistines saw that their champion was dead and they fled. We're not going to be that today, probably. But I do believe that there's supposed to be a building that we encourage one another to love and faith and good works. That when we see a brother stumble, we want to be a part, sister stumble, be a part of their redemption, not a part of wagging our tongue so everybody knows what happened. You want to know, I sat with some of the brethren with my wife last night, and I felt safe at my table. And I think that those things are very important. I probably talk too much. But it's all part of the deal. But it's like, this is what home is supposed to feel like. This is what he wants for us, a safe place for us to grow. So that we can grow together and become all that he wants us to be. I want you to succeed. I don't know how much interaction or input I'll have into your life or you will into mine, but I want you to succeed in Christ. I want you to be everything that you're supposed to be. This isn't I cut you down so I can win. I want you to win so I can win. What is that? Tide raises all boats, you know, that sort of thing. It's like I want to be a part of the contribution that sees the level rise here. And I'm happy to be a part of it. And I don't know if today is going to be the day or not, but what I do know is that he wants us to build towards a future that's real and alive and full and complete, and that you're supposed to find all that you're supposed to be and become the man or woman that you're supposed to be, and that we become a dynamic witness to a world. Look, they don't care that we come here today. They don't care. It's not doing anything to them. It's not making any changes. Most of the times, they don't care if we argue with them either, because they have their own reasons for why they're doing what they're doing. But I believe that God wants to put a spirit inside of us that can't be denied, and that we can be all that he's called us to be, a testimony in a dying world. At the end of this thing, I want to have been all that he's called me to be. I want that for you as well.